This podcast is brought to you by Link, simply the best way to learn languages. After you listen to the podcast, sign up for a free account at Link, LINGQ.com, and study the full transcript using Link's revolutionary learning tools.
Right. I arrived in Moscow, and it was very interesting, too. I was met with all kinds of, you know, touts. They're saying, taxi, taxi, you want a taxi?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how much is it? 2,000 rubles. Okay, it's whatever that is.
You just mentioned it was
700 from the airport.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not very quick at converting the currency. The only thing that stuck in my mind was, I paid 700 rubles from the airport in St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
This is 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 rubles, I don't think, is the fare.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I'm taking the subway. Okay, 1,000 rubles. I said, no, I'm taking the subway. And I did. And yeah. I went and I lined up. There's lots of people using the subway. Lined up. And I got my 10 ride, you know, card, electronic card. And that's all I needed. So, I had to lug my heavy bag and that up and down the stairs. But so what, you know, 250 rubles looks after me for 5 days in Moscow. So, and Moscow was pretty exciting. The Kremlin and all of the cathedrals inside the Kremlin, and of course Red Square and the Bolshoi Theater, and you sense that Moscow is the capital. I mean, it just strikes you as a little more sophisticated. There's a little more, it's got a bit more of a business atmosphere to it.
Okay.
Lots of cars, lots of chauffeur-driven cars, black cars, idling around, and their owners are either their government officials at meetings or business people or the wives, you know, the pampered wives of the wealthy out shopping at all the luxury shops that are there. So, yeah, and then I met with our learners.
Yeah, and you had another meetup in Moscow, right?
A wonderful meetup. Some people came from as far as 100 kilometers away just to be at that meeting. Very nice people.
Wow.
The biggest impression in Russia is just how nice the average person is.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask for any help, where, you know, how can I find this or anything, people are very, very helpful. For some reason, people who work in the service industry are much less helpful. Very strange. You go into the train station or metro, you know, you're buying a ticket, they're all, blah, 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 it's this. You know, no, and it's, as a language learner, you know, I actually did quite well in conversations where I was part of the conversation and I knew the background, and you can almost anticipate what people are going to say.
Right.
But when you go to a counter and you ask a question, and something semi-muffled comes back at you,
you don't know
what they're going to say. You know, nothing can prepare you.
Not
the little textbook at the train station. You don't know what they're going to say. And when you say, "I beg your pardon," they're not very patient in explaining it the second time. That was the most difficult thing, really, was dealing with those kinds of clerks at counters who were not very patient, and you have no preparation, and they're not friends. So when you're with friends and you're having a conversation, it's easier. When you're confronted with this person, it was tough. But on the other hand, people in the streets were tremendous. Tremendous. I felt very at home.
Oh,
felt very at home
there.
Yeah, very at home. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
And you had mentioned that, you know, while you were here in Vancouver in your car, you would listen to various podcasts.
Right.
You know, Echo Moskvy.
Yeah.
Continue to listen to that, read newspaper articles, and just immerse yourself as much as possible in Russian.
Exactly.
So what was it like in Russia, where then everything around you was in Russian?
Well, I mean, this again, it becomes less artificial. It's real now. It's a real world. Plus, in Echo Moskvy, I hear them talk about, you know, this square and that street and that subway station. And then now I know what those places look like.
Yeah.
And they talk about the traffic jams in Moscow. I understand that now. one of the big issues in Moscow is that a lot of officials, not only very senior, but less than senior officials or other important or self-important officials, put these little, you know, whatever you call them, strobe lights on the top of their cars so that they can get around in the traffic, right?
Okay.
And so this becomes a bit of a controversy when people who shouldn't have them.
Right.
And there are a lot of cars with these. I understand the issue now because they're all over the place. People with these little blue lights on them, on the cars, you know, hoping to kind of skirt around the traffic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel that my Russian took a big step forward, and my motivation is you know, greater than it ever was. But it was nice to go there and to be able to operate. Like, I felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. Other than the odd surly clerk at the train station, mm-hmm. most people were very friendly, and I could communicate. And to them, it's only natural that I speak Russian.
Right.
They're not expecting to speak English.
Yeah.
Although, I did find people who, if I was in a subway station and I didn't know, you know, which train or stuff, some people who could speak English were very happy to speak English. Mm-hmm. But most people, they speak to you in Russian. And so I felt very good that I was able to operate, went to a theater, you know, able to order food in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt good. So, yeah, I mean, it was very, very, and we had excellent weather.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent weather, yeah.
So what is the weather like in around this time of year?
Well, I think, I think it's a bit like a place like Winnipeg or Edmonton. It can vary from being very warm and sunny day after day, and then it can go quite cool for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They have had very warm weather, 22, 25 degrees, 28 degrees.
Oh, really?
Sunny. And the concern in Moscow is that if they get a very hot summer, then they have these peat bogs outside Moscow that burn.
Oh, really?
And then the whole city gets covered in this smoke from the peat bogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have, in recent years, have had problems with forest fires.
Oh, okay.
So these warm summers create problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, it's not like Montreal. It's not hot and muggy at night.
Yeah,
so it cools right off at night. No trouble sleeping. But it was warm and pleasant every day. Yeah, it was really, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
And you know, and in a way, I think for many of us, when we learn a language, unless we're learning for some exam,
mm-hmm.
we learn it so that then we can go and interact with the people.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, this is the reward. That was my reward for the 4 years. Although I should say that while when we do something like learn a language,
mm-hmm.
we focus on the goal, which is to become proficient in the language.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, the trip is a reward for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that the whole journey
mm-hmm.
for the past 4 years has also been enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should always just focus on the end result. Mm-hmm. We also kind of have to enjoy the trip, because
most of it is the trip.
Most of it is the trip. So I enjoyed the trip in the sense of my studies, but I really did enjoy my reward.
Right.
My reward here. And I'm sure you felt the same way and do feel the same way when you go to Korea.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to interrupt because this is primarily about Russia, but, you know, a lot of the things that you're saying, I relate very well to Korea.
Right.
And I felt the same things when I was there. So,
yeah,
I think it's probably a universal experience when you dedicate so much of your time to something and then it becomes real to you.
Exactly.
It takes on a whole new meaning, and it's...
Yeah, and the benefits are not immediate in terms of your language skills.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I flew back on the plane, there was a guy who was a teacher, an English teacher in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for a program called something like Immersión en Inglés or something like that,
mm-hmm.
where they get like 5 days of solid 7.5 hours of drilling and grilling and talking and whatever. And I'm sure that some people will improve in that week. But a lot of people, those benefits won't appear until quite a bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the same way with my Russian. I mean, there's only so much it's going to improve in just those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's going to, in the long run, it'll have a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely do recommend those people who can't afford to go to the country at any stage, but preferably when you're past the intermediate stage mm-hmm. in the language, so you can really get in there and act. And otherwise, if you're just a beginner, you're still kind of like an observer.
Yeah.
You're not really a participant. You're just an observer.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my Russian escapade. I will be putting photos when I get around to it and talking about a bit on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Cool. And your blog again is?
The Linguist on Language.
All right.
All right. Okay.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Bye for now.